Welcome to Reaching Out to the Community. I'm Derek Bullard. Today we have a special guest joining us, Mr. Andrew Rechless, a passionate weather enthusiast. In this episode, we'll be discussing the upcoming total solar eclipse on April 8th, 2024, and its significance for the Eastern Townships. We talk about the various aspects of this celestial event, from understanding the difference between a total solar eclipse and an annular eclipse, to exploring why this upcoming eclipse is generating such excitement.
Well, basically, the last time there was a total solar eclipse in the Eastern Townships was in 1932. And they are extremely rare because the orbit of the moon around the Earth is not parallel, basically, to our equator. So every time there's a new moon, the new moon isn't between the sun and the Earth. So we don't get a shadow cast. If it was, we'd have a total eclipse, you know, once a month somewhere. And you consider that at its widest, probably the shadow, the width of this totality or this circle, which is the shadow of the moon. In this case, I'm going to use miles because that's the site I was quoting off. We do the conversion of times 1.6. It's 123 miles wide when it comes on the Mexican coast and south of Mazatlan. So, I mean, when you consider how big the Earth is, how much territory we have, to be under a shadow that narrow is quite exceptional. And it only happens very once in a while. Just got some data here. For Montreal and the townships, the last one was 1932. So I'm looking, Gaspé, they had one 1,296 years ago, Gatineau 635 years ago, Quebec City 826 years ago. So when you say it's once in a lifetime, it really is.
So to clarify some key terms for our listeners, Mr. Rechless helps us to understand the difference between a total solar eclipse, a partial eclipse, and an annular eclipse.
Okay, so if you can imagine outside of this zone of totality, so let's say that the zone of totality, I'm just going to look quickly here, goes from, so when it's just about over Lake Lovering, where I live, between Magog and Fitch Bay, the zone of totality, Farnham, is just on the edge of it. So, and if you go to the north, your other side, you're getting over towards Lancaster, New Hampshire, okay? So anybody outside of that area as it's moving along, let's take Quebec City, for example. Quebec City is going to be about 60 kilometers out of that total darkness. They will see three quarters of the sun or four fifths of the sun covered. So the sun will look like a new moon, just a sliver. And the further away, if you go a little further north and west, so you get further up, say you go as far up as let's say Chibougamau, they might see a quarter of the sun covered. So it would look like the moon as it was becoming three quarters towards full. So those are partial eclipses. And we've had quite a few of those across the townships. And, you know, it's nice. You can, if you have viewing glasses, you can look up and say, oh, look, the sun looks kind of like the moon does when it's half moon or quarter moon or new moon. But it's not as anything near as exciting as it turning totally dark during the middle of the day. And going further, an annular eclipse is actually, if you had a perfect annular eclipse, that would be a total eclipse. Oh. If the moon was closer to the Earth and the Earth was farther away from the sun, because the orbits of the two bodies are elliptical. There's one time of the year when the sun is when the Earth is closer to the sun, and another time of the year when it's further away. So if by chance that the Earth is at its furthest distance from the sun and the moon happens to be further away from the Earth, then even if the moon is perfectly in line to block out sunlight, the sun is too large for the moon and it shines around the sides of it. Okay. That's an annular eclipse.
Our guest goes on to explain how the duration can vary in different areas of the world and points us to a website that allows us to see the passage of the total solar eclipse, which can be found at greatamericaneclipse.com.
Well, once again, two things can affect the duration. First of all, once again, it's the ideal distances from the sun, the Earth from the sun, and the moon in relation to the Earth. So we want, if you want, for the maximum duration, which would be about 7 minutes for the totality, you want the Earth as far away from the sun as possible, so the sun is smaller, and you want the moon as close to the Earth as possible in its elliptical orbit, then in that case, you will get maximum totality. The other thing that affects it is where it lines up, where you are on the planet, because in the case of this totality, you'll see that it's longer. When you look at this site, Great American Eclipse, if you play the video, you'll see that it's over 4 minutes when it comes on the coast of Mexico, and by the time it gets to the townships, it's down to about three. Where I am, it's down to about 3 minutes and 27 seconds. Well, the Earth is fatter at the equator than it is closer to the pole, so in terms of rotational circumference. So as it's moving up along and the Earth is getting narrower, the angle is different and the length of totality is different. It's actually the speed of which the shadow is moving that in relation to how the Earth is spinning.
Of course, the burning question is, what kind of experience will it be for those in the eastern townships?
Yeah, so if you can imagine the shadow was a giant beach ball, okay? Obviously, if you are in the center of the totality, okay, you will have the longest period of darkness, which will be about 3 minutes and 27 seconds. If you're just on the edge, it'll be much, much shorter. And what's kind of neat, if you go online and Google some of these programs, you put in the town where you live, and it will tell you exactly the time your totality starts and what time it finishes. Okay. So if I'm looking at Thetford's Mines is sort of on the edge. They've got half as much time in the darkness as, say, where we are in the Magog sort of... Because the center of the totality is just to the east of Magog. I would say Ayers Cliff would be right in the center.
Okay.
Yeah. Sherbrooke's not too... Sherbrooke's about just off center.
Okay.
So say a minute and something on the sides, and on the very, very side, it'll be, you know, down to a short few seconds.
Now let's address an important aspect of eclipse viewing: safety. Many of us are aware of the awe-inspiring spectacle that a solar eclipse can present, but what might not be as well known are the potential risks associated with viewing it without proper protection.
Okay, so first of all, let's talk about why it's dangerous to look at the sun. Now, we don't look at the sun when it's not covered by the part of the moon because it's just too bright. If we look at it, we turn away because it hurts our eyes. So the danger when there's an eclipse coming, as the sun is covered more and more, there's less intensity, so your eyes are more comfortable looking at it. But the ultraviolet light and the intensity of the light still coming from the sun will damage the retina of the eye. Okay, if you ever looked at a really bright light and stared at it, and then afterwards you close your eyes and you see that light.
Yeah.
Okay, that's an impact that a bright light will have on your retina, but it's not long term damage. But the sun will damage the retina long term. So it's so easy. As the moon is eclipsing the sun, to look up at those last little slivers and say, "Well, I can look at that. I'll just squint or I'll use my sunglasses," and that's not the case. The radiation from the sun can cause permanent damage. So you need to be now. I'm going to say there's a caveat here. Once the moon is completely covering the sun, there'll still be light around the edge of the moon. The corona of the sun. You'll see it, and it look like a misty, foggy. And if there happens to be a solar flare, you'd actually see that too with the naked eye. That will not hurt the eye. But then as the moon starts to move up and come back, you may even see parts of the sun shining through gaps in the mountains of the moon. But as soon as that sunlight comes back, it's dangerous, and you cannot look at it with a naked eye. That brings us to the question of the glass. The glasses that are approved for watching an eclipse have an ISO code on them. It's ISO 12. So I'll do it individually. ISO 12312-2. Okay. If it doesn't have that ISO code on it, then they are not certified. The problem is who's to say that if you're buying them on Amazon from who knows where and who knows who, that they are not just knockoffs that have been stamped with ISO. Now, if you're buying them from a reputable company that you know, or a Canadian company that you know, there's probably a really good chance that they're regulated.
Our weather enthusiast, Mr. Retchless, also has some advice for those that would consider using their welding glasses.
There's another. I did this for an annular eclipse, and I was lucky enough to get a hold of it. Because some people will say, well, I have welding goggles, okay? So yeah. for arc welding. And so I went on and I researched that. And the welding arc glasses come with codes for protection. And the basic ones they sell have code 12. But they say for an eclipse you need at least 13 or 14. So people out there who are thinking of using their welding goggles, be aware that if they are rated less than 13, there may be the potential for eye damage.
Next, we asked our guests if he heard of any communities or local organizations in the Eastern Townships that were organizing special safe viewing events for the upcoming total solar eclipse.
Well, I heard that they're doing something at Mont Bromont. I haven't heard yet if Mount Orford's doing anything. I did see that on Facebook some parties being posted at different places, but I can guarantee you that because this is an incredible opportunity for restaurants and bars and organizations to capitalize and maybe create a market for after and before. By the time we get to April the 8th, you're going to see more listings than you can count. If it's like anything I've ever seen, like the last total eclipse that went through the United States 3 years ago, there were parties everywhere, viewing parties everywhere. I know that the Eastern Township School Board is turning it into an educational opportunity, although I heard in Ontario some school boards are closing for fear that they cannot control get everybody to look at the sky safely.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I looked online to see when the next total solar eclipse is, and I had it and I've misplaced it, but I can tell you safely that it is for here in the townships, it is not in anyone's lifetime, even if they were born today.
Oh, okay.
It's way in the future.
Finally, Mr. Retchless leaves us with a fun fact and the projected weather forecast for April 8th.
Okay. And just to let you know, if you remember that song "You're So Vain" by Carly Simon, okay? Mm-hmm. There's a line in there when she talks about the person she's singing about going to Nova Scotia to see the total eclipse of the sun. That was in 1972. And in a rarity, there had been a total eclipse also in Nova Scotia in 1970, 2 years apart, two total eclipses. That's very, very rare.
Very rare.
Oh, and one other point, Derek. Okay,
yep.
I go on to www.accuweather.com, and I punch in Magog. That's where I live, but anybody can punch in wherever they live. And then you go to on the top to monthly forecast. Click on April, and it's already showing what the expected weather is for April 8th. And we've gone over the last 2 weeks from a rainy, dreary day to a sunny day. Mm-hmm. And now today they were showing a partly cloudy day. The chance of a clear day on that date in the Eastern Townships is 41%. Chance of a partly cloudy but no rain or a cloudy day with no rain is 60%. Our collective wishes to will a beautiful day for the townships for them.
A huge thank you to Mr. Andrew Rechlis for sharing his insights with us today. And listeners, if you have any further questions for our guests or want to dive deeper into the topic of solar eclipses and the weather, you can reach out to him directly through his Facebook page.
Yeah, you just go to, on Facebook, you just do a search for Rechlis Weather Services and I pop up. And you can follow me there. I do the weather when it's busy every day and usually every other day. And when there's big storms coming, probably 5 times a day. Thank you so much.
This has been Reaching Out to the Community. I'm Derek Bullard, and keep it tuned right here to CJMQ 88.9 FM.